Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and thanks for watching Crime Talk, the most unbiased, fact-driven, true crime channel on YouTube. First on the docket, let's talk Chris Watts, something we haven't done in a while. How about that documentary and this supposed phone call floating around the internet? Second, if you can't trust the pastor to do the exorcism drug-free, who can you trust? Third, a complete violation of trust by a police officer. Fourth, a man cleared for a murder he didn't commit, but don't worry, it only took 26 years to get it all sorted out. Fifth, you tell people not to drink and drive, and then you want to charge them when they have their 13-year-old drive home. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. We ask if you haven't done so already, hit that little subscribe button as well as that bell so that you receive notifications of when we put up new content or go live. Now, we have a busy docket today. First on the docket, that's right, let's talk some Chris Watts. We haven't talked about him in a long time. If you haven't heard, guess what? That's right. Now, Netflix has done a documentary regarding the Chris Watts matter, and at least they did a pretty decent job and they stayed up front. All of the information or all of the video that you see is taken directly from the internet. That's right. So Netflix paid somebody to basically go to Crime Talk and look at all the video that was up as it related to Chris Watts. Now, God bless them. There's also a thanks to the Ruzick family at the end, so there must have been some collaboration. But for the most part, it was not bad, I have to say. It did a good chronology. We liked the little text message. We liked the little text message boxes that they put up. It wasn't half bad at all. Of course, you knew the outcome. But if you have Netflix, it's worth watching. It kind of got the lovely Miss Kristen fired up because it reminded her of how cute Celeste and Bella actually were. And it's hard to imagine anybody could do that to their own children and let alone put them in those oil tanks as he did. Now, according to sources that have spoken with various members of the news media, apparently, the documentary titled American Murder, that's the one on Netflix that we just talked about, according to sources that have spoken to people close to Chris Watts, obviously he'll never probably see this particular documentary, but the whole thought of it makes him feel a lot of shame. That it should, if you think about it, right? The video does include several text messages that have never been released before. And overall, it was not too bad. It's worth watching. Now, obviously, the documentary is lots of cuts from what we have here in our Chris Watts playlist, where you can hear and see just about everything in its entirety. But overall, wasn't too bad. Definitely worth taking a look at. And of course, it makes Chris Watts feel a little sad. Now, the other thing going on with Chris Watts, and I'm going to think about whether we even put this audio up that's floating around on the internet, but there's apparently a call between Chris Watts and I think a woman named Anna and some unknown guy on the other side that was telling Chris Watts that he is just a victim of this entire situation, and it sounds like he's reviewing the discovery, and Chris Watts goes off and talks about how he wants to do a 35C. And then he starts talking about how there's the fruit of the poisonous tree and Brady information and how he just doesn't think that the mission that God has put him on earth for means that he should remain in custody. And this unidentified individual then states that, Chris, you know, you got screwed. We're going to help you get out. It's all part of just a big game. Now, for those of you who do not know, and if you want to go to our playlist, you can see where we talk about a 35C hearing. That's under the criminal rules of procedure here in the state of Colorado, where Chris Watts pled guilty, which we'll talk about in a second. The 35C is basically saying that the conviction was obtained unconstitutionally. And normally that means that something was done. The most common thing is that the defendant, in this case, Chris Watts, did not receive effective assistance of counsel, and that it was at such a level so far below that of a competent attorney that he should get a new trial. Well, let me show you how much of a chance I think Chris Watts has of obtaining any relief on a 35C. Here you go. Zero. Okay, let's talk about why it's that low. First, Chris Watts pled guilty. When you plead guilty, you admit as a matter of law and as a matter of fact that what you're pleading guilty to is what you did. He pled guilty to killing his children, his wife, and unborn son. The court engaged in a colloquy with Chris Watts and asked him, are you understanding everything that you're doing here today? Do you understand the charges that you're pleading guilty to? Do you understand the rights you have and the rights that you give up by pleading guilty? Because everyone has the same constitutional rights. You have a right to enter a plea of not guilty, make the prosecution prove each and every element of the offense beyond a reasonable doubt. You have a right to confront and cross-examine all witnesses that the government might call against you. Obviously, you have a right to make the government prove that case unanimously to a jury of 12 people. As a defendant, have a right to present a defense you might have, to simply, I didn't do it, to in a defense of an alibi, I wasn't there, or it wasn't me, as it relates to identification. Simple enough. The defendant has a right to testify or not to testify, and if he went to trial and lost, he has a right to an appeal. He obviously has a right to effective assistance of counsel, and when he pleads guilty, except for that right to counsel, he gives up all of those rights. He'll have counsel. Now, a 35C on a murder case, you can do that. There's no limitation on filing a 35C if you've been convicted of first-degree murder. There are other limitations, usually 3 years for other felonies. Now, in this audio that's floating around, Chris Watts says, well, there's 3 years. He's got to get this stuff filed. Well, that's only on the non-homicide counts relating to the death of the unborn child, Nico. Now, since Chris Watt pled guilty and the court engaged in that colloquy, the court had to have been satisfied that Chris Watts understood the rights he had, the rights he gave up, and the possible penalties. He did it knowingly, voluntarily, and without any pressure or coercion on the part of anyone. Now, Chris Watts wants to talk about, oh, they obtained my confession via psychological coercion, and that's just wrong. I agree. Psychological coercion is definitely wrong. But appealing to them that, you need, now's the time to come clean, as you can see in the videotapes. And, oh, by the way, you failed a polygraph test, so now's the time. Why don't you just tell us what happened because you failed miserably? There was nothing there that was inappropriate. Now, if I was his attorney, I would file motions and probably articulate that. You would need expert testimony. But guess what? It doesn't matter. Because even if you got that confession thrown out, that it'd be unlikely that anything beyond that would be thrown out under the fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine, as Chris Watts is attesting to. The fact that he was at the police station for, I think, 5 hours and he hadn't had anything to eat or drink, guess what? He was not under arrest at that point. He could have got up and walked away. But he chose to stay and talk because he thought that he could talk his way out and manipulate the detectives working the case. That is not going to happen. So first of all, even if he wrote a petition, the judge, Judge Kopkow, who took the plea and sentenced Chris Watts, would review it and say, I deny this 35C. Then Chris Watts would have to appeal, which would take another couple of years. And guess what? You don't get to keep coming back. You get one shot at your 35C. Otherwise, it's considered to be what they refer to as successive 35Cs. He's not going anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what? Chris Watts has that notion that all of a sudden now he doesn't think he deserves to be in prison for the rest of his life. Because he probably figured out, man, this sucks, and this is where I'm going to spend the next 30, 40, 50 years until I die. Get used to it, Chris Watts. You're not going anywhere. You talked yourself into a conviction. You'd never got a lawyer early on. And frankly, you had all the resources available to you with the public defender's office, and you chose to plead guilty. One of the questions the court asked Mr. Watts was, have you had sufficient time to speak with your attorneys about the case? He admitted he reviewed all of the discovery. And guess what? Then they went up and talked to him months later, and you can also hear all of those conversations in our Chris Watts playlist, all his confessions, where he confesses to doing everything now that he doesn't think he, you know, should be in prison for. So that confession would still be there. He's not going anywhere. And this Anna lady, I don't know who she is, but on this audio, she allegedly says that she's going to go call his parents. And I don't know who this guy is on the other end, if he's some jailhouse lawyer, if he's actually an attorney. But the reality of it is, he needs to tell this guy, hey, you can do what you want. You got an entire lifetime. According to practicing attorneys in the state of Colorado, he has this much chance, zero, of getting relief on a 35C. Hopefully that clears all that up. Next on the docket, if you can't trust your pastor to do an exorcism drug-free, who can you trust? That's right. A pastor who carried out, allegedly, an exorcism on an emaciated and bruised one-year-old baby apparently was also using methamphetamines with his parishioners, according to police. Allegedly, Lloyd Lasker, who runs the House of Refuge and Deliverance Ministries Church in the town of Mayfield, Arkansas, was arrested by police at a gas station for allegedly being in possession of a meth pipe and some meth. When the police arrived, they found an emaciated 21-month-old child with multiple bruises from head to toe, and his mother and Lasker were at the church where the welfare check was taken. It's reported that the affidavit states that the child is now in ICU with a brain bleed and extreme malnourishment. The mother is telling police officials that the boy was possessed by a demon. The police were looking to speak with Mr. Lasker for several days and were unable to locate him. However, kind of by chance, they found that he was at an Exxon gas station in Mayflower, Arkansas. When they found Mr. Lasker, he was with another gentleman. Ultimately, the police began to search the vehicle, and they found 4 grams of meth inside a door panel, along with a pipe and another device for smoking methamphetamine as well. Both Mr. Lasker and the other gentleman were arrested for meth and possession of drug paraphernalia. Mr. Lasker also is allegedly agreeing that he did carry out an exorcism, but refused to give the officers any more details. Apparently unclear how one goes about doing that and whether methamphetamine would be required for this alleged religious ceremony. When they searched Mr. Lasker's home, they found a shotgun. He's going to be facing additional charges because he is a convicted felon and cannot possess that firearm as well. So Mr. Lasker is in a world of hurt. The firearm and drug paraphernalia are the least of his concerns. If he had any involvement whatsoever, as it relates to the harm of that young child. Who can you trust these days? Well, let me tell you who you can't trust. An ultimate violation of trust. Rodney Vicknair is a police officer in Louisiana, and he was arrested last week for allegedly sexually abusing a 15-year-old girl whose case of sexual assault he was investigating. How's that to add insult to injury? Well, soon-to-be former police officer Mr. Vicknair allegedly responded to handle an investigation as related to the sexual assault of the victim. Then he apparently contacted the victim over the phone and via social media after driving the girl home along with her mother. It's alleged that soon-to-be no longer police officer Vicknair allegedly contacted the girl over the phone and via social media after driving the girl and her mother to the hospital. At one point, the officer reportedly used Snapchat to get pictures of the victim in a bikini and a bodysuit. And then the girl accused soon-to-be, not longer a police officer, Vic Nair, of hugging her, kissing her, grabbing her buttocks, and soliciting her for sex. There were also, apparently, text messages that were rather explicit that were sent by the soon-to-be, no longer a police officer, Mr. Vic Nair. The 13-year veteran of the police department was charged with sexual battery, indecent behavior with a juvenile, and malfeasance. He was suspended, and we'll see if he'll be able to make his $55,000 bail, which has been set. Now, like everyone that we discuss here on Crime Talk, they are all given the presumption of innocence unless and until they are found guilty by a jury or plead guilty in a court of law. That, ladies and gentlemen, if true, is a complete violation of trust. To take advantage of a sexual assault victim, not cool, not cool at all. Before we continue with the docket, let's take a quick recess. Now, those last two stories were about alleged pastors and police officers taking advantage of people, people that we're supposed to be able to trust. Well, think about all the people that you simply cannot trust in this world. Maybe you shouldn't trust in this world. How are you going to find out about them and so that you can determine if they can be trusted? Go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. Yes, there is a nominal fee, but you can cancel at any time. I don't think you'll do that because when you have your subscription, you can anonymously search as many people as you want. Think about it. Your friends, your children's friends' parents, people you maybe work with. Find out information if there's something that just doesn't feel right. Because when you do the search and literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated for you while you wait, and it's going to include information related to emails that are associated with the person you searched. It's going to include phone numbers, social media accounts that are associated with that person. Additionally, you're going to get information regarding criminal history, sex offender registration, property records, marital records, civil judgments. It's all there, ladies and gentlemen, so that you can have the information you need. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be satisfied that you did. Next on the docket. That's right. Another man cleared of a murder he did not commit, but don't worry. It only took 26 years to figure out that there was a mistake that was made. Lacino Hamilton is now free after being exonerated some 26 years after he was falsely found guilty of murder. He was arrested in 1994 and convicted in 1995. Hamilton's case took a bad turn when a fellow inmate claimed Hamilton had confessed to killing his foster mother while in jail. It's believed that the jailhouse snitch was attempting to get leniency for his own criminal conduct. Ladies and gentlemen, do not trust jailhouse snitch information. It is not trustworthy at all. I'm telling you, I've been on both sides of that. You have to be super skeptical of that. Now, fortunately, in this particular case, Mr. Hamilton will ultimately be free. But it took 26 years to do that. Be very careful and hesitant of people that receive benefits for their testimony. It is bought and paid for, and they will put anybody on the grassy knoll in Dallas in 1963 if that's what they have to do to get the benefit for themselves. Be very skeptical of jailhouse snitches. Next on the docket, you tell everyone not to drink and drive, and then you want to get them in trouble when they have somebody else drive for them. That's right. A Texas man is accused of letting his 13-year-old stepdaughter drive them to get ice cream, and he's now facing charges. Sure, this wasn't a little example of, let's go drive the car. You're probably mature enough. Yeah, you don't have a license. It'll be okay. The stepfather, Javier Martinez Aguilar, he was in the passenger seat, all right. But unfortunately, he was in fact intoxicated. So I guess it probably makes good sense, even if you're letting a minor drive a motor vehicle, that you probably shouldn't be doing it intoxicated. And next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Meet Mr. Sean Metcalf. He was arrested for disturbance at his apartment complex. What did he do? Not the first time we've had a dumb criminal with this, but that's right. He smacked his girlfriend with a piece of pizza in her face. The woman said that she was taking items to the trash when Mr. Metcalf became very angry and started to yell at her, including in the material the woman planned on tossing out was a pizza box that she mistakenly thought was empty. Mr. Metcalf then told her not to throw his things away and became very angry, according to the affidavit. Mr. Metcalf allegedly then approached his girlfriend, picking up a slice of pizza and hitting the victim in the face and the chest. Now, when the police arrived, Mr. Metcalf admitted to losing his cool and yelling at the victim, but denied that the dispute became physical. And he had no idea how the victim had pizza all over her. Mr. Metcalf, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Congratulations. If you are the big winner of the week, we're going to send you a Crime Talk mug. And for those of you who would like that Crime Talk mug or any other merchandise without having to become a dumb criminal contestant, that's right. Go to the link below, Teespring. You hit the button, you hit a couple of buttons, and the next thing you know, you've got Crime Talk merchandise at your house. Very cool stuff. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.